We deserve it. Been on the top for a real long time, and we haven't done this thing that we're notorious for doing that even got a name, Clemsoning, right? For a while, like the Pitt game when Deshaun Watson got beat, kind of the last, that's the last one that comes to mind for me, because there, every other like loss, there's extenuating circumstances, right? Like Kelly Bryant goes down against Syracuse. Everyone kind of forgives that because your starting quarterback goes down.
Right.
You know, losses to Georgia, who is very good. Like
Notre Dame was very good.
Et cetera. Yeah. Like,
and then they beat him in the ACC championship.
It's games at the beginning of the season that were toss-ups, or extenuating circumstances excuse Clemson from everyone being like, ah, there it is. But this was it. And, like, Duke didn't even play, like, a really good game. So it's not even like Clemson fans have to be like, well, you know, Duke outplayed us. And no, they didn't. They like they played a game good enough to win. They beat us for sure. Like, but Clemson at the same time has been in the red zone 14 times in the last two games that they've played. The last two official games from Clemson football. 14 trips to the red zone inside the 20-yard line, and they have 21 points. They're averaging 1.5 points per red zone trip, which, you know, in a lot of other sports, like 1.5 points per attempt to score points is actually really good. In football, it is like the worst you could do. It is the absolute worst. And the frustrating thing is that, like, Will Shipley is really good. You watched that last night. Really, really good. Defense, really, really good. Like, they got moved on a couple times, but ultimately didn't break a ton until, like, they were broken. But the offensive play calling is no different. The talent level of the wide receivers are still mid. Like, these aren't dudes. Like, these aren't dudes. The quarterback looks pretty good, but he does not have dudes around him other than the running back, who, by the fourth quarter, was destroyed. Like, totally destroyed. But I'm fine today.
To the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, joined this week by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk, and on the ones and twos, Michael Serber. Michael Serber is a fan of the Clemson Tigers, the team that we are going to open the discussion of this college football podcast with, because the most
recent... Oh, he already put it all in there at the top. You know it. You know Serber's just purging.
I know.
Yeah.
I could summarize it. We're going to beat the shit out of Florida State. Just fucking destroy them.
Power.
Are you going to beat the heck out of them?
Clemson super weapon. I know they're kind of garbage, but once a year, they're good for one of these upset wins against a more established program.
I blame Dabo for talking about little old Clemson, because eventually that was going to manifest itself, right? Nobody respects little old Clemson. Well, I'm telling you, we're recording on Tuesday afternoon, and after losing to Duke, the prophecy has come true. Before we get to any of that, I would like to remind you that that content and the rest of this, this episode is brought to you by Coors Light. Mountain
Thank you,
cold
Coors
refreshment
Light.
Made to chill.
The mountains turn blue. Just let the Blue Devils,
tie in, baby. Ties in.
I'm so happy Steve Spurrier was at that game.
You know, the Donner Party had about as good a time in those blue mountains as Clemson did in the red zone last night. They ought to call it the blue zone.
Duke is the worst.
On account of how cold Clemson looked once they got there.
Mm-hmm.
Duke is the worst team to lose to as a Clemson fan in North Carolina.
In football, or in general?
Yeah, because they are the most unabashed. Like, well, yeah, I mean, I kind of pull for someone else in football because Duke was never good. And you kind of give them a pass for that. Like,
they don't even care.
That's kind of the vibe. Even Carolina fans, you know, they've had some runs. But, like, you know, a lot of them, you give them a pass that, like, they pull – a lot of them pull for Clemson, frankly.
They did.
Yeah, yeah. So, like – But they're also pretty impassioned Florida State fans, a lot of them, and like, and you know, so we just get to lose to them twice, and they're just gonna like even the team I don't even pay attention to beat y'all this year. It's not great. And then like the true Duke fans who just like they deserve this moment, frankly. But Yeah, it's the, they're the worst one because Wake fans have done it before often enough, and UNC like has our they have our blood for basketball always because of that streak that they had, and like NC State just doesn't bother anybody because they're like they talk but we don't listen, and they get
our,
it they get
on
it,
our way to 7-5.
Yeah, American Aquarium gives them a pass. I just kind of let them. I just like I love BJ. Y'all say what you want.
So, like, and the many types of Duke fan, there's, like, the all-Duke sports fan, which that is a unique type of person. There's the stereotypical
That's
Duke
the
Cowboys
Duke
Yankees
athletic director
fan
that you're describing.
Right. Yes, seven people.
And then, you know, there's, like, the Duke Lakers Manchester fan.
The Twitter bio fan.
Yeah. And then there's the fan Serber's describing, who's, like, the Carolinian Duke fan, right? Like, my backup team is any other team throughout Appalachia and thereabout, and the Piedmont and so forth.
Can we call them the National Guard Reserve fan? They're the one who's like, sure. I'm here, but I have to go over here. But when deployed, I will serve.
Mm-hmm. Right. In my day job, I'm a physical therapist, but sometimes I transform into Florida State football fan.
I think it's worth mentioning. I failed to mention too that like Duke fans are so looked down upon by Carolina fans that like Carolina fans are give us shit for this too. Like that when you lose to Duke, like Carolina fans also they like take that win. They're like, "Yep, fucking losers. You guys suck."
Fascinating. So much going on. There's too many teams in that area. I think that's part of the problem. There's just way too many teams.
Yeah. There are a lot of teams.
This isn't a situation where, like, you know, it's Nebraska. You root for Nebraska.
And it's not a situation where it's Texas, here. And it's like, well, Texas is the size of a country. It's fine to have,
multiple partitioned kingdoms of football. Yeah.
I'm the smallest microcosm of North Carolina, too, because I'm in Winston-Salem. So, like, I have, like, a really skewed view of how many Wake Forest fans there are because they all, you know, they're all buried here.
Yeah. It's also, and this is not Clemson's fault, lots of things are, to have it be the very last game of week one, all by its lonesome self, is where it really stings.
In the casual fan time zone. Like,
yes.
Everyone saw this. Everyone thinks like, oh, Duke must be great at football now. Like, that is what the average American dude thinks right now.
No one wants to go to bed. No one wants to let the holiday weekend go quite yet.
Yep.
Why not stay up and watch Clemson fumble the ball on like the 6-inch line twice? In like
thing about
Three Stooges whoop 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 fashion. Like,
if you give Clemson both those red zone those fumbles, give them touchdowns, replace both of them, and you give them both of the field goals,
they still lose by
they
one.
Lose 28-27.
Yeah,
that's this incredible.
Is, like the greatest part is this: they spent the entire first half putting their dick in the dick destroying machine, right? The thing that says don't put your dick in this, and they were like, I don't know. Could be pretty good.
And at halftime, their dick was mostly fine.
Yeah. And then they came
out.
I knew those warnings didn't mean shit. I told you.
They had to drag their dicks 3 entire minutes to the locker room around the bonus bounce houses.
Around bounce houses.
Installed.
Diabolical.
In order to delay Dabo's machinations.
Yeah, you don't like the walk from the locker room to the field? Well, about that, we'll make it festive for you. Here's a bunch of children's bounce houses.
What's wrong, Dabo? I thought you liked castles.
Yeah, he's probably like, I'm never going to look at a bounce house the same way again.
I don't even like jumping anymore.
Jesus, protect me from these bounce houses.
Gravity's a lie.
But then they came out in the second half, and Clemson had good answers. They moved the ball. They played a lot better on offense. It's just the defense started to fall apart. And when you miss one tackle against kind of a team that's going for a spread run angle, it goes 44 yards for a backbreaking TD. But they moved the ball. They just couldn't get it in the end zone. Like, it's going to be a real hairy offensive game tape watch because they're going to go in and go, we're so close to being good. so close.
Do you know how many passes Duke completed in the second half?
I'm going to say 3.
It's 5.
Five.
It's 5.
Perfect. That's how I know you beat someone's ass. If you're like, did you win? Yeah. How many passes in the second half? I can put them on one hand, brother.
I saw a lot of people say, like, oh, man, I realized at some point in the game this is just like the Orange Bowl. And, like, I understand that they're talking about the Orange Bowl against Tennessee. This really felt like the Orange Bowl against West Virginia.
Wow.
Duke wasn't on like West Virginia was.
Right.
They weren't on one. Like, Riley Leonard was, like to your point, completing 50% of his passes. So it was just...
But Dyson folks up in the open field. That's how you want
it. It was Andre Ellington fumbling at the goal line just over and over again. It was like Groundhog Day. It was, yeah. That was the Orange Bowl that I felt like I was stuck in. But I'm fine. I don't know why you keep asking.
Yeah.
You had, well, listen, you had young Kirk nephews out there. It's not Kirk Cousins. That's Kirk nephews. That's you had like young MC Brokerage out there dicing people up.
Serber, in recent seasons, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, you said being a Clemson fan had become boring. So, like, do things feel more exciting now? Like, is this going to spice up the rest of the season a little bit?
Yeah.
Spice up your marriage by crashing your car.
I absolutely feel like they have a really tough schedule. Like when you actually they do catch a couple breaks by getting Carolina and Florida State at home, and Notre Dame at home as well. Like, but God, those three teams have looked really, really good and not at all like Clemson looked. So I think I even went so far as to say like I'd kill for an 8-4 Clemson team. This really looks like about an 8-4 Clemson team potentially, unless the freshmen that didn't play all of a sudden start going on the field and
the Lord does hear prayers
are not mid. Yeah. But
the Lord just hears the mean prayers.
I think the Lord has muted Clemson for a little while.
left on red.
We've heard enough from you.
Yep.
We're gonna give everyone else a chance to pray as well.
How bad have we incurred the Lord's wrath? I'm going to favor Duke over you. Oh, God.
Yeah. Clemson, you're going to move to the back of the queue for a little while.
Yeah. It's the Methodist turn. You finally did it.
The heavily lapsed Methodists of SMU and
Texas
Duke.
Texas State has a turn with God right now. Clemson, just be patient. It will be yours again.
By the way, I do love hardcore Duke fans in the same way that I love hardcore Texas State fans. Because, man, somebody like the hardcore Texas State fan or the hardcore Duke fan, it's their moment, dude.
Yep.
This is as fulfilled as they will ever be by athletics, because the expectations will now be there to be good a second time, and that's always iffy. But the first time, ecstasy. Like the down payment that you have been making emotionally for 15 to 20 years finally paid off in the one-time sale, which now might be a balloon mortgage that sends you crashing, but we'll think about that tomorrow, baby.
Money's not real.
In the computer composite ratings, the Massey composite that pulls together a bunch of power ratings, the most improved team through 1 week is Colorado, jumping 29 spots, of course. Number two is Texas State, jumping 23 spots, followed by Jack State and Duke. The bottom four, Baylor, Texas Tech, TCU, and North Texas. So, like, the state of Texas is just going fucking crazy here. Texas State, Houston jumped 13 spots as well, but Texas State is just flying up the Texas rankings. They're probably still, like, ninth, but it's our weirdest state by far to this point in the season.
Yeah. I don't even know if there's a close second at this point.
South Carolina.
I mean, it's always our weirdest state. But.
Oh, yeah. So, South Carolina
everyone
is a weird
lost.
Place. You're right.
Uh-huh. Everyone.
Yeah.
South Carolina lost so hard that it made UNC look like they have a defensive line. That's amazing. That's how bad their offensive line is.
So you're saying
is.
They don't.
You know, I'm saying they're probably hanging at like a B. But, man, in that slow class with South Carolina's kids, like with that offensive line, they look like A-plus students.
The entire state of South Carolina, just it was blood week. If there's state blood weeks, South
looking
Carolina
at these
one.
Same ratings, Coastal, South, and Clemson all went down by at least 9 spots.
Yeah, shouts out to Chip Kelly, by the way, for being like, "Where these commercial rules are really messing up my game. We only had 5 possessions."
I'm
like,
"Oh my god,
you couldn't get Coastal off the field. Get a better defense."
And Citadel got shut out by Georgia Southern too. Damn.
Oh, brutal.
I think South Carolina State lost, and Wofford lost too. Maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude,
Wofford played Pitt and got destroyed. Pitt had the ball for like 42 minutes.
They played Pitt.
The dude, the tempo plays offense snaps thing, that that is, it's going to be the thing that makes me lose my mind this season. Like, everyone assuming, like, the easiest way to go viral on college football internet right now is they're not letting the kids play. Okay, the boys want to play football.
Because this is a news program. Let's explain to people who might not know what the fuck we're talking about. What is going on in college? Like, let's explain.
We probably have a lot of listeners who don't watch college football. We have discovered, we do.
Correct.
So the NCAA's new rule is the clock doesn't stop after first down anymore, except in the last couple minutes of a half. You might wonder why it always did. Who cares why it did? It just did. It didn't matter. It didn't need to. They just got rid of a silly rule that, like,
so the chain gang could saunter.
The clock works like it does in the NFL, and it's, you know, it'll save a little wear and tear on players, but it does not materially change anything. And we have the data to prove that, because for the past two seasons, offenses have averaged 68 snaps a game. This season, offenses are averaging 67 snaps a game, and that's with half of them being 85,000 to 2 week one blowouts. So, like, no, I know it feels weird when things change and, like, you're acting like a fucking baseball fan who doesn't get to sit in one place for 4.5 hours, but it's the same damn game. Like, I know it's so easy to get 1,000 likes on any app by saying they broke my college football because I love to look at clocks not moving. No, shut up. It's the same. Nothing changed. You wouldn't notice if they hadn't told you.
It's like a play and a half. I think that's what the difference is.
Yeah, at that, like, you really need one more Northwestern shovel punt in your life?
No, you can have that.
No.
Take it.
The most delightful example I saw of this was, they were like, Indiana only ran 54 plays.
How much Indiana did you want to see?
Brother, did you see what they were doing? They would walk up to the line, set up in a triple option, okay? Because Indiana does what you do when you're really hungover at work, right? They're like, expectations are low today, y'all. Here, just to let you know. Because they set up basically running the triple, and they would go until the clock was down to like 6 seconds, 5 seconds. Then they're like, okay, now down to business. Because you don't want to let the other team have a possession, because they're Ohio State, and that possession's probably going all the way to the back of your end zone.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
That's why.
A team out-talented at every single spot on the entire roster and run by a defensive coordinator from Indiana is going slowly. Yeah. The sport is broken.
You're like,
Indiana had a game last year against Cincinnati where they ran 104 plays.
And that's
they lost by 21, and they didn't get to 350 yards of offense.
You want more of that? That's what you get.
Yeah.
You really want more Indiana football?
No, according to the victim's fitness watch, he swam 12 miles but was still 42 miles short of shore, expended 38,000 calories, and still died.
Like, I will concede that there are circumstances in which coaches and staffs don't know how to adjust to this rule, because it does make sort of the last, I don't know, 5 minutes of a half, let's say, it does change the feeling of those. Like, they move.
It feels
a
little more tense. Yeah.
Yes, and I think there is an adjustment period where teams are figuring out, okay, how do we manage time in that way? Because there is a muscle memory to it. There is a sort of like, all right, we do it this way, and that'll burn this much clock, and blah blah blah, or we can go this fast, but like, I don't know. It's funny because seeing all these complaints, I'm like, I think what everybody's actually mad about is the change from almost 15 years ago when we moved to the 40-second clock. Like, that feels like where all the slowness is potentially coming from, right? Not this very specific, like, only on first down does the clock run, and I don't know.
Maybe it's like everyone saw, like, oh, baseball is actually fun now. My complaints didn't work. I'm going to roll over my complaints to this other sport where they're doing a clock thing. I'm just going to keep doing it until I find one where the clock getting faster is actually bad.
Now here is the other complaint that is valid. Baseball has the pitch clock, and it has made games faster and shorter, and that's a thing that people like. Football has made this change, and the games, the broadcast itself is not in any meaningful way whatsoever. So I do get why people feel like, wait, you said you would do this, and we wouldn't have to sit through like 5 hours of a football game, but we still have to do that? Fuck you. That's a little bit of a cheat.
Yeah, I think this is just complaining because your team sucks. That's usually what these boil down to, is if your team sucks at something, you will blame whatever the new rule is.
My team sucks, and I know it's not because
of the new rule. No, it's ass. Do you know what the last thing I was worrying about? Watching Florida get skull-knuckled by Utah? No, those goddamn clock rules! No, like, there's...
I wish this would last longer.
I wish, listen, yeah, I really want more of this. More Graham Mertz poured in my face.
Graham Mertz was fine, okay?
He was fine.
That's
fine.
The fucked up thing, is that Graham Mertz was fine.
He was fine. The offensive line was trash. That's what happened. They got beat up and down the field. They need to know that. They know that. Do you know what they're not blaming? The clock rules. They weren't laying on their back with two Utah defenders taking crowbars to them going, man, wish the clock had stopped.
I do wish Dabo had done that. Like, I do wish Dabo had been like, well, these goddamn first down rules.
I was informed. I was informed. Last night he would be contrite. He would he would regain his composure and come out all hurt, wrong, and dumb at the midweek press conference. So pay attention when this podcast is dropping. That's probably when Dabo will blame cell phones, lack of family structure, atheism,
Chinese
the transfer portal, Chinese TikTok, the TikToks. And everything else, rather than saying, I can't develop a wide receiver anymore. That's probably what he's going to do.
Multiculturalism.
It's just like, lots of people hate Ohio State. Lots of people hate Alabama. Lots of people hate Michigan. These are teams that have been good or close to good for the entirety of our lives, more or less. Like, some blips here and there, but certainly, like...
very entertaining blips, yeah.
Clemson is not that. Clemson has somehow managed to do the New England Patriots thing where it's like, for years, Clemson was just a team. Just a team. And has now, like, the fact that the whole timeline is like, Clemson come down and play. I mean,
okay,
like,
so...
yeah, yeah, like, so, like, imagine if you were in a coma for 15 years and, like, what the fuck is everyone picking on Clemson?
Right.
It would be wild. Like, it would be a Back to the Future moment where you're like, Biff? That's what you look like now?
Would it be like if suddenly the whole country hated Ole Miss, although a lot of the country does hate Ole Miss?
No. <that's>,
we had a whole
buddy, we're like
that.
2 seconds away from that at all times.
You're right. I apologize.
It would be like
the whole
if
country
you woke
hating
up,
NC State. NC State is always the example.
Right. Like, we can come back to NC State. You know, if you came back and you're like, man, you know who I hate?
Fuck or Wisconsin.
Wisconsin or Oregon. Right? Like, yeah, I hate. I mean, Oregon's good.
Yeah,
but like they've never been so oppressively good as to be hateable. Maybe that's not true for West Coast teams or University of Washington fans, but on the whole national
USC has been hated like that.
Yeah, USC has been hated like that. Yeah,
yeah.
I cannot understand another thing here too, which is how's this? I slightly understand it because part of the great joy. That people personally don't like Dabo, right? They feel a great, deep personal antipathy toward Dabo because they believe that he is like some Bible-thumping fake. I think the truth is that he's actually a Bible-thumping, very annoying person. Like, he's a very, like...
oh, yeah.
It's worse because that's all genuine. Like, that's all... people go like, oh, man, Dabo's fake. No, brother, I have worse news for you. That's all very real.
Yeah,
and
it's easier for people who never grew up around thumpers, who have never inhabited any of those spaces, to assume it's all fake. No. It's profitable, and leaning into it is good for the brand, but it's what's there. That's what it is.
That's just like, you know, like I wanted, part of my instinct with Dion is to be like, oh man, I'm waiting for the rug pull, I'm waiting for this to collapse, I'm waiting for this to be prime prep and academy. And then I realized you should extend him the same grace and skepticism you give every other football coach, which is we're all waiting for the rug pull, right? We're all waiting for the moment when their self-interest completely outweighs the ability to stay there and to continue to like build a football team. It's the same for everybody. Like Dabo and Dion, it's the exact same thing. We're just at different points on the cycle.
Felders wrote something very interesting in his newsletter about Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very simple. And I'm just going to like steal his subhead here. I like being wrong because it means someone is outproducing my expectations.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with, like, so much of not just college football, but sports coverage writ large is about, like, predictions and prognostication and, like, who saw this coming and who didn't. And I understand why, for reasons that feel both real and theatrical, Deion Sanders is very mad about the people who didn't believe in Colorado. I think it's a useful motivational tactic within the locker room.
Yeah, I
think
it say, also watch, allows him watch to... my fingers. Mad.
Yeah, sure.
He was mad.
Sure. But I think what that argument misses is that this is a big part of what makes sports fun. Like, if it just happened the way we thought it would happen, if it just went the way that the math or the predictions said it would go, it wouldn't be fun. It would be, but in a much more constrained way. Like, if everybody had just gone into this season saying, yeah, Colorado's got all this transfer talent, and Deion Sanders did such good work at Jackson State, and yeah, they're going to go out and they're going to beat TCU, the exact same game would feel different. The fact that it was so shocking and it was so not what people thought, or at least some plurality of people thought was going to happen, is what made it fun. It's what always makes it fun. Like, that's half the reason why we do this. I love being wrong. I have a very vivid memory of doing this, and I never remember anything we do on this show. But I remember we were previewing some Iowa State-Oklahoma game years ago, and I was just like, there's no way Iowa State wins that game. There's no chance in hell. And they fucking did, and it's awesome to be... It is really delightful to be wrong.
Yeah.
The example that I think about all NFL season these days is Josh Allen, because yes, I was one of many people who said, all right, let's assemble all of
the
data.
Wait, I was told you were the only believer in Josh
Allen. Yeah, deep down, yes. I was one of many people who said, all right, let's assemble all the data and let's just look at how unlikely it is that he will succeed, right? That does not equate in any way with hoping he will not succeed. When he does, that is a 1 turning into a 100. That is so much more fun than a 99 turning into a 100.
It's a lot like watching somebody play roulette and put money on a number. It's not wrong to say, that's probably going to lose. And it is awesome when you are wrong to say that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not more complicated than that. But, like, man, we really get locked into these ideas of, like, who accurately predicted the future? Fuck that. That's not fun.
I mean, I do kind of... I don't want to blame, but I will ascribe some serious influence to analytics for making this worse, because now we have somewhat shiny numbers to back up what is likely to happen.
Yeah.
And this is where probability meets the inflexibility of the human brain, because you go, well, that should happen. And when it doesn't, it's jarring, as opposed to just being like, I don't know, we're stupid. you should just have fun being completely clueless, which is part of the default condition.
Even analytics can, like, help shape why, like, when Bill drops his win expectancy numbers after the fact, it's fun to go through and be like, oh shit, Nebraska should have won that game. Nebraska 100, mm-hmm. Like, my feelings were right. I was not wrong to be like, god damn, Nebraska, what are you doing? Not that Nebraska fans need to, like, have that confirmed by anything at this point in time, but yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think there's something to it as well, but, like, I don't know. I don't know what... Week 2 is coming. I don't fucking know what's going to happen. I don't have the slightest clue.
No goddamn clue. That's the greatest part, you know? Even when, like, I thought Colorado was going to get waxed, it turns out they're a good football team.
Right.
Hey, delightful. They had 4 100-yard receivers.
And by the same token, if you're like, what's going to happen in Colorado and Nebraska? I don't know. And that's fine with me.
That one I have a pretty good... bad for Nebraska, most likely.
Probably, yes. Because,
but yes.
The Lord's will is strong.
I did think about this. I was like, well, man, they should really cover the running back out of the backfield. I was like, okay, cool. That only leads 3 100-yard receivers to worry about. Okay.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing about, I mean, you know, we all say we love the sport because of the upsets and the chaos. Well, in that case, when one happens, it's not a cause for, like, running down a list of everyone who didn't predict it. They contributed to the feeling of upset chaos.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, everyone who said this is what is likely to happen, when it doesn't happen,
they made it feel even better.
Right.
So really, Colin Cowherd is doing the most for us because he's, you know, whoever's the wrongest is the one contributing the most to our joy. The the Colorado, in hindsight, it's crazy because it's like, oh, well, fucking of course it worked. Travis Hunter was a number one recruit. And, like, he was two number one recruits right? And, like, Shedeur Sanders is thrown for a million yards. And, they flipped a four-star from Notre Dame as soon as Deion got there. And he ran for three or four touchdowns in week one. It, like, in hindsight, it's like, oh, well, yeah. I mean, against a depleted air raid, defensive line, and in like a Pac-12 that's heavy on quarterbacking and light on defensive, like, of course this will work great. But, three days ago, that felt crazy.
The most stunning part about that is, just to like put a nut and bolt to it, because I like to be materialist occasionally about these things, that they did that with an offensive line that was, to put it generously, like, not all there, not fully developed, inchoate. Not great. And it didn't matter because Shedeur Sanders is just getting the ball out. Like, if you look, three-step drops all day, like just real quick, read and react, get the ball out accurately. Like, the team that beats them when this happens, they're going to be the first team that's like, we're going to hold every play. We're just going to hold. We will just hold at the line of scrimmage and see if you call it. It's a very simple game sometimes. Just find that and the crew who won't call it, and they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and I mean there are teams that can outgun them. There are teams that will just be too big. I mean, Colorado, Utah, that's a strength on strength. You know what I mean? Like, that's a fascinating game now. Could go either way. Not something that we were expecting to be able to say right now.
I don't know if that goes either way. They're very mean, but I'm very biased because that's the only team I've seen in person this season, and they're very big and mean, y'all. Robust. That's a robust bunch of boys.
Vanderbilt's 2-0. Florida's 0-1. Deal with it.
Yeah. Deal.
Three games behind Vandy. How's that?
Sail on, bitches.
Eat shit.
Vanderbilt also lapsed Methodist. Add them to the board.
Add them to the board. Also standard bearer for the conference because they have two victories when LSU, Florida, and South Carolina have none. Thanks for the stunning out-of-conference debuts, y'all.
It's fine.
It's absolutely fine.
All right. Well, of those three, who feels worse today?
It better be LSU, man.
I think it's LSU based on what I've seen.
Which is
Tiger,
crazy.
Tiger
which
droppings is closed.
Which is crazy because South Carolina, South Carolina should probably feel the way they always feel, which is like nothing will ever work. And we are stuck in like, South Carolina is perpetually like, oh, it's just 15 more minutes for a table. That's the South Carolina football experience. Florida fans, I think, have been so aggressively trained to, like, multiple outlets have been like, they're going 3-9. They're going 3-9 this year. And so, like, there is a little bit of click training to that. But LSU, man.
So I don't, like, is this the point where you go, hey, it's not as bad as you think it is?
I think it's because it's all relative is the thing. Because when LSU before this game is getting articles on ESPN that are like, why shouldn't the championship bounty continue at LSU? Basketball, women's basketball, mm-hmm. baseball, great gymnastics program. Is that like, why shouldn't, what, football is logically next, right? Like, oh boy.
Uh-oh.
That's a great. You just climbed all the way to the top of the ladder and got pushed in the fucking pool.
That's like being due gambling. I'm due.
Yeah.
I don't like of those three teams. Like for Florida, I look at it and go. In retrospect, there's a lot of really good young players out there, and they played really way better in the second half. And Utah's really good. I feel as okay as you can about a public pantsing like that, especially when. I don't know if you can play any worse on the offensive line. We'll find out, especially against Tennessee. Maybe they'll be even worse. It could happen. But I don't think that'll happen twice, especially going all the way across the country like they did. Florida may be one of the few teams that's actually like, we don't know how to do this. I mean, they really don't. Like,
it's true.
It's true. They really don't. South Carolina feel real bad because I don't know if you have a lot of answers. Like, and I don't know if the staff has answers.
The media picked Florida to finish fifth in the East. South Carolina was picked third.
Yeah, that's bad.
LSU was like neck and neck with Alabama to win. Like the West is weirdly interesting right now because I think everybody was sort of like, well, Alabama hasn't figured it out. And LSU is ready. Like they have the quarterback, they're like ready to sort of jump right back and sort of like improve off last season. It's not a conference game, so technically like that is not affected, but
oof. Yeah, I mean, LSU was, again, talking about things that made sense just a few days ago. If not for Georgia's schedule, I probably would have picked LSU to win the SEC.
Sure.
Just like, they brought back everything. They had everything they need, and then they moved it around to weird spots. But
again, it's great to be wrong. It's fun to be wrong.
Yeah.
I looking at the updated AP poll, Clemson is behind Duke and Colorado.
As
cool
foretold.
Is that?
I want you to know that Tigers fans have recovered because among the headlines on important business on Tiger droppings is Camping World Stadium is a dump. All right, we're back at it, boys.
Yeah.
Back at it. On the
that
next
grass,
week.
That grass sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. Got that it. Grass Got sucks.
Em. I'm sure the grass is fine.
Yeah.
Clemson still ranked amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sticky, sticky,
Iowa is
baby.
Out here scoring 24 points. And well, I guess that's fair. Iowa didn't get to 25 either way.
Mm-hmm. One under.
One under. One always. Under. Forever. One way or the other. One off of 25.
If they score 24 again and then again, like if they score 24 in El Asico, Kirk, well played, baby. Well played. Just keep this going. Just to come up like 1 point shy in every game. Master of your universe in every
Alaska
single way.
Alaska's a tricky one to score only 24 in because that game is always either like 4-1.
Prime numbers only, baby.
How did you score theta? I don't know. Two safeties and a rouge. That's how we got there. Yeah, I feel there is one thing on LSU that's just like outright dumb. And it's so hard to do because it's so hard to do as a fan because you go, well, all right, I'm not a coach, and I did not play Division I football. But this seems dumb. And then, you know, which we're talking about moving Harold Perkins to inside linebacker, because Harold Perkins started last year and was primarily an edge rusher and was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And his position was basically fetch. See the ball? Go fetch. Whoever's got the ball, go kill them. And he did it. And he was really good at it. And was their prime threat. I understand the lineup's changed. Ojulari's not there. You got to move a lot of pieces around. It's a whole new defense. You can't expect them to do the same thing, but they are playing that man who is a quarterback eating machine off the ball. They're playing him off the ball, and they are doing things like having him shadow Jordan Travis. You can tell how well that worked because he had 341 yards passing and 4 TDs. Other factors than that besides not having Harold Perkins chase him, but I would point out he did not have Harold Perkins chasing him a whole lot. I think he had like 8 rushes in the whole game, whereas last year that number would have been much higher because he really couldn't play a position. Now they have him playing off ball, and it's so hard because you go, I understand all the real logical reasons you're doing that. I understand all of them. You understand sometimes logic is stupid. Like, yeah. Sometimes all of the reasons, like, you might be applying the correct lesson in the incorrect case.
I mean, last year, Harold Perkins felt like 8 guys at once. This year, he feels like 1 guy. So, maybe you should put all the other Harold Perkinses back, I think.
Yeah, if you have a mad bomber, you don't ask them to just sit back and be like, you know, a little foot soldier. You just let the lunatic loose. That's, you know, I'm not saying have him play positionless, right? Like, you just go out there and kill someone. No.
Do whatever you want. That's fine.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
I would like to, once again, this is one reason why college football is superior to the NFL. The AP poll is an absolute gem because they'll give you the actual ballots. They'll actually tell you, like, here is how all of these things happened. And I would like to congratulate Jared McDonald of the Charleston Gazette-Mail, who has Florida State 7th, the lowest anybody has them, and has LSU 6th, the highest anybody has them.
That's, I'm guessing that's a filed on Sunday.
Do you know what that might be? Don't trust it. Want to see it?
Sure,
again.
Sure.
Yep. Need to see those results replicated.
Need more evidence.
Also, might Clemson at 12. I haven't looked at the full board, but I'm guessing this is a clocking out early. And you know what? That's fine. If they wanted these games to count, they should have played them on Saturday.
That's a really good point.
I was going to spend time with family, no matter what. Sorry.
This gentleman also has Clemson 12th. So, yeah.
But in the exciting other receiving votes, man, like that is my favorite, is the other receiving votes, because man, Iowa needs to get up there. Damn it.
And Jason, I think you've talked about this, how the playoff committee is much better at sort of being like, fuck what we said last week.
Yes.
Last week is dead. And there are some, look, I'm not going to say everybody, like, Brett McMurphy has Florida State won. Love it. Love that decision. Has LSU all the way back at 12th. Doesn't have Clemson on his ballot at all. Like, great. Fucking rock. Beautiful. No question.
Top 10 Oregon State, therefore correct.
But like, by and large, it is a cowardly effort that is so much geared around, like, we could go meet with Smart and Handsome, and I must trust we could go meet.
Hey, yeah. You know who else has a thoroughly logical ballot for the most part? Yeah. Reese Davis, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, Reese Davis says FSU at 1.
Sure.
That's really all I need to hear.
Like, yeah.
I mean, that tells me you're not just looking at where you had them last week and sliding them up and down. Like, just start from scratch. That's all. Start from scratch is all. That's what the COP committee does.
It's going to work out in the end. Like, yeah. if Georgia is the best team, they will 100% get chances to show that.
Mm-hmm.
And B, like, it's just more interesting to sort of, like, I don't know. It feels like shooting the interest in the sport in the foot to just be like, well, we had Georgia at 1 and they beat UT Martin, so we just got to keep, I don't know. Just feels like the right thing to do.
The beauty of the AP poll is, like, okay, it has in the moment utility. It tells you, if you haven't been paying attention, which games matter. Right. It also has historical utility, which is the true beauty and value of it, is we have a single running 36 that tells the story of every season, every major program, you know, all these things
with nothing but one little number next to a name. Let it fluctuate. Let it tell that story. You know, like hemming it in and, oh, well, Ohio State, we can only move them down one spot, even though they didn't exactly look like they were top four at all, particularly. Like, let it breathe. Let it live.
Right. Like, Duke's not on at least one, maybe two, top 25s. Yeah, I see at least two where they're, like, just not here. And that's why, like,
that's
that
wild.
Just feels so wild. Because, again, if you decide past you is dead, don't care what they thought, you can put Duke wherever you want this week, and it has no effect on where you'll put them next week. It's not important.
Can I also, just to give you another example of how to do this properly, you know where Clemson is in Reese Davis' ballot? Nowhere.
That's right.
Nowhere. Fucking get gone. Reese Davis, get that shit out of my bar.
Bye. Take the, come back after you beat Wake Forest.
You know who else Reese has in his top 25?
LSU, which I think is fair.
No. That's not who I'm talking about. Look who's got 23rd.
Oh, no. He has Wyoming because he watched the game.
I love
it. And that was awesome. And you know what he has at 25, which
Texas
I
State,
love?
Texas State, baby.
Texas State for beating Baylor. That's how you do it.
Yeah. That's how you vote.
Good job, Reese. I know you're listening.
Yeah, you'll be stunned when you get a DM that's like, "I was," and that's it.
Think about someone not seeing who still had Texas Tech ranked. It's like, what? You were that impressed? You were that impressed with the road trip?
this is like people who are really like caping for. I was trying to think of like a fallen off mediocre rapper. Snow. Somebody's like, Snow is the truth.
Yeah. I've heard
that's
many.
That's not fair to Snow.
Yeah, I've heard many Snow nostalgists in my time.
Yeah. Don't. He doesn't belong in the poll. Texas Tech and Snow are both out of the top 25.
Do you want to talk about week 2?
More than anything, brother.
So one thing real quick, we've already mentioned El Asico, and I'm sure we'll mention it again. Folks, I have something to tell you about, all right? If you would like to get into the building, Jack Trice Stadium for El Asico, then have I got a deal for you. The URL is gametime.co. It is not gametime.com. It's a tickets app where you can buy tickets is what you can do there. That's what you do on a tickets app. In fact, I'm looking right now at El Asico. I can get you into that building for $116. How's that sound? Pretty good deal? Sounds worth it to me. These teams hate each other.
Yep.
You're going to see a lot of stuff. All these numbers that I'm seeing have numbers next to them that indicate the prices have been higher, which means you're getting a good deal. But the deal gets better, okay? Because here's what I'm going to do for you. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Now, I'm getting to El Asico for under $100, okay? Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Do it Saturday morning. I don't give a fuck. Lowest price guaranteed.
Yep. Get in your car now. If you live far, just start driving.
Start driving. Park the car while you use Game Time. Get back in the car and continue driving.
Dare Roger Sherman to meet you there.
You probably will.
He will.
I can't believe Roger watched Northwestern Rutgers.
Yeah, you knew he was going to do it. You understand, by the way, he was in Utah on Thursday.
Yeah.
And he made it to Northwestern Rutgers.
We're going to have Roger on pretty soon here. I saw him when he was in town for the Vanderbilt game, and I know I assume you saw him in Utah.
No. That's the funny part. We were supposed to
All right. How
do you think this
scheduling logistics? I take it back. Roger's the logistics master of this season.
At the moment, but it did happen to this. I texted him, "Hey, do you want to come have lunch with me?" And I sat down at the place we were supposed to have lunch, and I began eating. And this is after he'd been like, "Yeah, let's see, I can do lunch." And I was like, "Well, how about we meet here?" Nothing. I go to lunch. I sit down at the place. It was the Red Iguana, which is like the cliche Mexican place you have to go in Salt Lake. So I sit down and I get a text that says, "Sorry, LOL, ate there last night. Things got chaotic, you know." And then,
yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. And then it was my turn. I went to the game, walked back. It was late. And he's like, "Where are you?" Like, I get the text, you know, after the game.
Yeah.
Like, "I'm going to bed, brother. I got to get up." So we will meet somewhere else down the road this season. I have no doubt. Not intentionally.
I'm confident.
Not intentionally.
I mean, I think the unintentional caveat.
Yeah,
okay, now I'm betting on it. Now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's how I'm going to make sure it's going to happen, is that I will put absolutely no effort into this and we will end up sitting next to each other.
I ran into Roger at Kroger.
Yeah, that's it. At Kroger Field, Kentucky, baby. I do want to talk about week two, because week two has, I think, some of like, week two has a lot of our like tone setter, level setter games where I think we discover like, ooh, this team's really bad, or it's not as bad as you think it's going to be. I like week two, week three for that, where you go, this team might be ass. And then you bring it closer to your face and you go, yeah, that team is definitely ass. Or they improve and they look a little bit better. I know they scored a bunch of points and things went really great for them, but Ole Miss plays at Tulane at 3:30 Eastern.
Horrible idea.
On Saturday. And that seems like a really bad idea. I know we'll all be watching the gripping national incident of note in El Asico, Iowa State. And I'm no longer even joking. I've worked myself into a shoot when it comes to El Asico. I will 100% be watching Iowa at Iowa State. But at
there's
the same
a lot
time,
of incidents going on at that exact time. El Asico, in addition to Ole Miss at Tulane, Ole Miss probably wins, terrible idea. A&M Miami.
Yep.
That's a bad feelings game once again. It's
not just a bad feelings game. It's a we're going to show you last year wasn't real. We're both going to show you that we're bigger and stronger boys.
Yeah. No, that just seems like fumbles.
One
right?
of you when is
like,
gonna
we're
going to
try so hard.
Yes. Yes.
One of you is going to lose this game.
Yeah.
It'll suck. It'll suck for you.
Also the undercard in that time slot, and we're doing the afternoon first because it's El Asico week.
Had to.
Texas State UTSA suddenly like, I think I'll dip my toe into that.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, I think I might pay slight attention to what's going on in San Marcos.
This is where I want to make up some John Boy shit, like, G.J. Kinney's got the boys ready to play at the Armadillo Dome.
Down in the swamp.
Stadium. Yeah.
Yeah, John needs a new one because Dabo definitely does not have the boys ready to play in the swamp.
Dabo did not.
That's not true. He's probably got them ready to play in the swamp. They can probably handle that.
That's true. That's probably where they were. Yeah, that's where they were. Ah, darn it. Just missed you.
You do get a little Friday night snack of sorts. I'm not saying it contains a whole lot of nutrition, but it is a morsel and a pretty tasty one at that. Illinois at Kansas at 7:30 on ESPN2.
That is the hardest sell I've ever heard.
The fact that we're going to get either 2-0 Kansas or 2-0 Illinois, like, we're not going to take that for granted. Those are things.
No.
I know Illinois barely beat Toledo, but, like, if we're either going to get 2-0 Kansas, or 2-0 Illinois, facing off against Penn State the week after that, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure everything will go totally normally. Or we're going to get like, Kansas off to a hot start. Here they come. Look out, Texas, in a few weeks.
Can we look at it positively?
Yeah.
For most, like, Illinois had a great game. They had a great game against a good Toledo team. I'll just, like, that's a good football game. I can't complain about that. This will probably also be a good football game.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, like Luke Altmyer looked pretty good for Illinois, and that's promising. And the Illinois defense was present in most regards.
How about Thursday, the Murray State Louisville game? Anyone tuning in for that?
Is that on national?
That's an ACC network.
It's the annual punt Thursday night because the NFL is back.
The tactical catheter special.
What are the... Hold on. NFL podcast real quick. NFL schedule week. Because I want to know what NFL gruel I will be subjected to if I decide not to watch.
Dog, you got the fucking Lions coming up.
You got Lions at Chiefs.
You got the good Lions.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Without Travis Kelce, so...
Guys. If the Lions aren't good, I think Lions fans might just give up. If they can't finally be good for
they
once.
They deserve it.
Nah.
They've been through too much. They're too, they're too steeped in this.
Jared Goff, MVP.
I worry more about Lions fans if they are good.
That's true.
How will they handle that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Can't act like you've been there.
Your most dangerous friend just won the lottery. Let's see how that goes.
Not only your most dangerous, but your saddest friend.
Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah. That might be an example of the sick of Clemson thing. What if, like, the Lions just reel off three Super Bowls in a row and we're like, God, someone take down the damn Lions.
Dan Campbell is the next Bill Belichick. Oh,
so
my God.
Sick of the Lions winning all the time.
Everybody just starts hiring larger and larger coaches, right? Like, find someone coaches who can deadlift more than Dan Campbell.
Coaches just say more and more violent things in their interviews.
Yeah. I murdered the other coach last week. He recovered, but I'm not going to let that happen again.
New York Jets coach John Moxley is here to threaten her. Eddie Kingston is here to address his AFC South enemies.
Holy There's shit, Coach the, Moxley with his trademark motivational fork.
The Bears hired the Klitschko brothers. What the
fuck? We were fighting war, but now, Coach Bears. Both noble causes.
Both, all right, both doomed, but noble.
Back to week two.
So at 11 a.m. on Saturday, Vanderbilt's bid for 3-0. Against Wake Forest, no. It's the
doable
in the ACC SEC challenge.
Why is that doable?
It's doable.
It's not doable.
I'm not saying like, oh man, Vandy's gonna pants him. No, we got our short king at Wake Forest at quarterback.
This is a version of the
Illinois Kansas thing. One of these teams is gonna win and be in good shape.
Okay, I can go with that.
How many decades has that not been the case?
I don't think this is the Wake team that has rolled out the past couple of years that is like formidable against the top of the
you
ACC.
You think because of Hartman or just like?
I think Hartman has something to do with it, but I just don't see them in that mold. Like their performance against Elon was a little underwhelming, considering that should have been much like what Oregon experienced on Saturday.
Right.
But I think Vanderbilt's like. Yeah, they're at the bottom of the SEC, sure, but their secondary is wildly suspect.
But they've already played a team that let airs the hell out of the ball, you know, and they survived it. It wasn't pretty, but they survived it, and Wake's going to do the same shit.
All right.
Say Vandy gets past Wake. Toss. Then you got Vandy at UNLV. What? okay. So we're staring down the barrel of 4-0 Vanderbilt. Hosting Kentucky and Mizzou.
I'm going to try to find the last time Vanderbilt started the year 4-0. You guys
remember, by the way.
It's going to take a little while.
It was probably that James Franklin year when all the other teams were sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The mono year. The SEC got mono and Vandy had like 10 wins.
No one made out with Vandy, so they were good.
Yeah that's exactly what happened.
I would also point out that UNLV game, this is Vandy's excellence in scheduling. They have gone to Hawaii and Vegas in successive years. Well
that's
done.
A good point.
It's 2008. Vanderbilt went 5-0 to open the year, beating Miami of Ohio, South Carolina, Rice, Ole Miss, and Auburn.
What a journey through the academic rankings.
And then they won two more games the rest of the year.
That's fine. Bank it early, baby.
Yeah, that's true. Wins are wins.
Work smarter, not harder.
Yep. Still ahead of Florida, as we said.
Yep.
So say Vandy gets to... Say they get to 5-1. Say they take down either Kentucky or Mizzou. I mean, shit, after that, they get to play Florida.
Correct.
This is an awesome schedule.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then home and then, against Georgia. Game day's coming, baby.
Yeah, collect all those wins. Yeah, get to 7-0, host Georgia. Yeah.
Speaking of terror, Nebraska at Colorado. Suddenly looking like not much of a game, frankly, based on what we saw last week.
That's such
a bold statement. It's looking like a fucking awesome game.
It is bold. What? I can only work with
you
the data
I have. You think Colorado's
just
going to work Nebraska?
Nebraska can hang with anyone.
Yeah. I'm not saying Colorado's going to lose.
I will
but
say
I'm
this sa- confidently. 3-point loss for Nebraska. How's that?
Okay, that's fine.
3-point loss for Nebraska.
Those are entertaining.
Yeah.
For 49 states.
Every Colorado game this year is going to be fucking awesome, regardless of who they play. I don't think they're going to be able to stop anyone in the second
anyone
half.
Can score on them.
Yeah.
I think Colorado State
they can score
one
on almost
to
anyone.
That rule. Yeah. But yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think they're just going to destroy Colorado State. Maybe
Nebraska can lose a one-score game to anyone. State.
I'm like really excited. Colorado plays USC, right? In like week eight, I think.
Yeah. No, Colorado plays USC earlier than that, I believe.
Okay.
It's week four.
Yeah, week five.
That game is going to fucking rule because neither of those teams will stop each other at all.
Week five. And they play Oregon the week before that.
Yeah.
Colorado, Oregon State. This is loaded with Colorado games.
These all of a sudden look like nothing but quality top to bottom. It's kind of beautiful. Thank you for redeeming a large swath of the schedule, Colorado.
So if Colorado beats Nebraska and that rule drops to 0-2, then they host Northern Illinois, a team I think they've lost to in the last few years, and a team that just beat Boston College.
Yep.
Who sucks. Boston College sucks. And then that will mean they'll have to beat Louisiana Tech to get the first. Like, this is Scott Frost Day all over again.
So at 1-3, then they play Michigan.
Yep.
So
and then they play Illinois.
Full strength Michigan, no less. And Jim Harbaugh's.
Yes.
Dramatic return.
Yes. Yeah, the return of the king.
the Burger King.
I'm holding up.
At the turn of the tide.
Yeah, I'm holding up an 8 for the 8-ounce burger that he will consume.
I want to be real clear. So much respect to Michigan for somehow making like the Twitter timeline really focused on Michigan football in a game in which they easily destroyed ECU.
No effort whatsoever necessary.
Like, what a fucking yeoman's effort to wedge yourself into the discourse. I'm really proud of you, Michigan.
Hey, y'all. We thought we shouldn't be talking about them, but we're talking about them right now.
Michigan. That's right. Talking about the Wolves.
Mm-hmm. Do they have the most main character disease of anyone in the top five?
I love them. Yeah, at the moment, yes.
Like, Bama doesn't. Bama's kind of like, don't look at us for a couple months. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Georgia's, they're kind of the same, you know. But, like, Ohio State, God, I wouldn't want to be looked at if I was them for a long time. But
Ryan Day is an NPC, so.
Mm-hmm. Some intrastate violence with James Madison at Virginia. Congratulations to James Madison, because I feel like you could have won that game. Notre Dame at NC State. Why am I laughing already saying that?
Just fond memories.
I actually don't think this is going to go that way.
No, I think Notre Dame's going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
they're pretty good.
NC State really, really let UConn hang around.
Mm-hmm.
Really let UConn hang around.
And Sam Hartman, again, all respect to Wake Forest, the QB development school for Notre Dame now, he's real good. He's real good. Honestly, he might be better because I think the beard is like powering him up. The beard is immaculate.
So I remember I brought this up at least on one app or another as soon as he transferred. Is this the most handsome coach quarterback duo in college football history?
Yeah.
Like, I thought about it for several hours and I blanked.
It's really high up there.
It is.
It's a little unfair because Sam Hartman's a year younger than Jalen Hurts. And I think, like,
at the very handsome age.
Yeah, I think, like, being 24 helps. Like, 24 tends to be a handsomer age than, like, 20 or 21 does.
You've added some, like adult masculine kind of features, yeah.
Right.
A little more rugged. Added a beard, which is lumberjack worthy.
Yep.
You know, on an already handsome face. It's a devastating combo, man.
Utah-Baylor. Two teams headed in opposite directions at the moment.
I think Utah's going to be more than happy to help them continue that plunge straight into the abyss. I think Utah's not the one you're like, I need a lifeboat. Like, boot on the head. They will go ahead and push you under the waves.
I love that they beat your team. Therefore, they're completely unstoppable. And you might
not say that. I will just say this. They're not helping. They're definitely not going to help.
Sure,
I've seen a team with serious structural issues face this team already. It went very poorly for that team.
Yeah, and I don't say that like you're making excuses for Florida or whatever. Yeah. I just mean you've beheld the horror of Utah.
I have beheld the horror.
The same.
They didn't even have their starting QB, and they were like, headlock! Do you like a headlock?
We're hitting you with the bullpen.
And Baylor's offensive line may be worse than Florida's. Like, That's not good when you're facing Utah.
They were certainly sloppy as shit.
Yeah. So that's going to go very poorly for Baylor.
And Utah and Cam Rising might be playing for you. Not that it mattered for Florida. But
not whatever. That it mattered.
That mattered at all. It's fine.
The most Ohio place in the world will be in Columbus, Ohio on Saturday. Youngstown State at Ohio State. Oh, the testosterone. Oh, the collection of bad tattoos and UFC fans made up by these two fan bases. The Trussell Bowl. I don't even mention it because it's competitive, only to note the pure, untitrated concentration of Ohio-ness is off the charts for this one.
There is one goal for Ohio State in this game, I think. And that is make the passing game look awesome. Like, make Kyle McCord look awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
That because, like, look, Indiana's one game, it sort of felt like Ohio State was like, God, I fucking hate that this team's the conference. Can't wait till we kick them out in 5 years. But if Kyle McCord goes out and has even just a, like, fine day against Youngstown State, it's going to be fucking doomsday on Ohio State message boards. Like, he has to go out and be like, yep, 78% completion rate, 4 touchdowns, wasn't in the game in the second half at all. Didn't need to be. Like, that feels like what you should be if you're trying to politic, at least, if you're Ryan Day, that feels like, which means they're here going to be like, well, we're just going to run ball control offense and try to get them 18 passes, just make them count.
Yeah, I didn't think the second half he didn't look too bad. Like, I thought he played a lot better in the second half from what I saw. But the
standard is, like, way up here.
Standard's ridiculous.
So
the standard is Justin Fields throwing for 40 TDs in a year.
Yes, yes, the standard is CJ Stroud.
The standard might be your problem.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, yeah, we've talked about it many times. Ohio State has just almost literally never had a bad season. So, like, in no way have they ever had to adjust the standard.
No, you just plug somebody in and you're like...
In a way, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like 30 TDs. Ho-hum. Yawn. That would be considered, like, acceptable for Kyle McCord. And you know what? Just if it's a little lower, that's fine. You also have to remember this. A lot of turnover on that offensive coaching staff. They lost Kevin Wilson. They promoted Mike Hartline to offensive coordinator. But also... the offensive coordinator is kind of also the head coach who always has his thumb on the scale heavy when it comes to play calling and game design and bringing someone along. So, like, not that they're not on the same page, but, like, you know, it'll take a minute. It'll take a minute to sort of figure out what you're doing and how you're doing it, right? Okay. Even if it's all on paper, it's going to take time because there are so many new moving parts.
Youngstown State is the opponent where you get it right, isn't
it? That is the opponent. Right? We run it past Skeleton Boy.
Like, to jump a little bit, Cincinnati destroyed Eastern Kentucky. And, like, Emory Jones put up a crazy stat line. 19-23 for 345 yards, 5 touchdowns, and ran for another 2 touchdowns on the ground. EKU wasn't going to win that game, but, like, part of what good teams do in the clear over matches is it's like, oh, this is where we get everybody feeling fucking great about what we're doing.
So I'm hearing Graham Mertz, 500 yards, okay. three rushing TDs.
You're dead, McNeese. You hear me? You're dead.
Graham Mertz came all the way here from Madison. Tear your ass up, McNeese.
So speaking of large numbers, 6 Eastern on Saturday, I'm hitting you with SMU, Oklahoma. in case you like big numbers going big.
I thought the over, like, can you look up the over? Because right now, I think it seemed astonishingly low. It was 74 or something.
A little
70.5 is what I'm seeing.
A little timid, a little spooked by the play count thing, which since we know it's a myth, let's go ahead and hammer that O.
So here we go. Oklahoma hammer over for year. Military Academy's hammer under. Buy new house.
Yeah, the careful with the service academies. That is the rule change that does.
That, yeah.
has broken my heart. Cincinnati Pitt, just one note, it's on the goddamn CW. That's right.
That's right, baby.
On the same network as, like, 9 shows about Batman's children and whatever else they do there these days. That's where Cincinnati Pitt is.
Yeah, Cousin of Batman, only on CW.
all the vampire shows.
Sure.
I mean, those are bat shows in a way.
Do you like mysteries?
Real journey
Nancy
for the CW
Drew.
When it was like, hey, let's do like vaguely religious family or no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do they still have Seventh Heaven? I don't know.
No, they have the Nancy Drew mysteries, which I know Pat Narduzzi is a huge fan of.
Is that one of those where they were like, Nancy Drew found a beheaded corpse? Is it real super dark like that?
I believe so. I think it's like Nancy Drew's like, the victim was a sexy lady. Flashback, like, sexy lady.
CW.
She's dead now.
CW, where's my gritty Berenstain Bears?
It's bad when you're watching a show and you're like, is everyone watching this okay?
No.
So you have Edgelord Nancy Drew versus Batman's grandson leading into Cincinnati Pitt.
That's right.
And, you know, you could watch Texas Alabama instead, or mm-hmm. you could watch the CW.
Oh, they also have Walker, which is the the reimagining of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh,
I definitely know Pat Narduzzi is a fan
of. With the dude from Gilmore Girls, right?
Jared Padalecki?
Wasn't he on Gilmore Girls? Did I make that up?
I don't know, because the only thing I remember about the Gilmore Girls was watching it and going, I wish these people would stop talking. So many words. So many words.
Maybe I've missed this. No, he's Dean.
While you look that up,
he is on. Yeah.
He's Dean on Gilmore Girls. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Okay. I bet he had a lot of dialogue.
Dean, no. Dean was always kind of more just kind of captured in the middle of Rory and Lorelai's thing. But he's a giant piece of shit on the show.
I forgot Cerber is
CW. Which is in line with right.
I was waiting for lore Cerber to leave him with
I've made Serene candidate activate Cerber again.
You guys, like, there was enough silence, like, it got mentioned enough. I was like, well, I guess if I get in here with this, like,
thank you.
First off, Dean is Rory's first boyfriend.
First boyfriend.
So they break up, and then eventually. Dean gets married to another girl, but then has an affair with Rory while he's married to this other girl, which Rory thinks
Rory's
is just completely fine.
Because Rory's a piece of shit, right?
Yeah, Rory's a piece of shit. Not only is she the impetus for this affair, she's really fully to blame for it. I don't blame Dean at all.
wow.
No. Dean is to blame, and they deserve each other, just like she deserves every other piece of shit she winds up on the show with. Except for Jess, who is a good guy. By the end of things, and does not deserve to be dealing with Rory's bullshit.
Cincinnati Pitt.
Yeah.
Cincinnati Pitt.
Apologies to Alexis Bledel. I think she's probably a delight, but man, she plays a really shitty.
My wife works with her, and she was a delight.
Yeah.
She said she was a great lady.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out that Oregon's playing at Texas Tech for some reason. Just don't know why that's happening. What a marvel. What a miracle.
No need for that. If we're giving you lots of reasons to avoid Texas Alabama, you know, whatever, we're gonna watch Texas Alabama. But
if
that game gets out of hand for any reason, I'm gonna point out quite possibly the FCS game of the year, quite possibly North Dakota State off to the side accepted, Montana State from your Big Sky Conference against South Dakota State, huh? Ooh. Just in case you need a second screener, that's about as good as it's gonna get.
That's good. That's spicy.
I'm picking that one up.
Jacksonville State looks really good. They're playing Coastal at 6. They're 2-0 already. Coastal is clearly figuring out what it is post-Jamie Chadwell. Like, Jacksonville State could be setting up for a very nice season in Conference USA. Which, like, looks so-so as a whole. Like, there's nothing about Conference USA that's so like, oh, I don't think Jacksonville State could. They could.
They do need to work on their social media promo strat, because they did have a thing about their offensive line coach, Rick Trickett, if you don't know, is like, when you talk about crusty offensive line coach, none older, none crustier, it advertised his career as 50 seasons coaching. Okay, that's impressive. Next line, 10 NFL draft picks. And I was like,
some.
Just like, a few.
I was like,
he was at Florida State for a long time, wasn't he?
West Virginia was like the longest run I can remember. Oh, okay. That's why he's with Rich Rod. He's like an old Rich Rod guy, and he was at Florida State. If you ever saw Florida State's offensive line just freeze on a false start or on an offsides, mm-hmm. right? Just freeze. Yeah. That's a Rick Trickett thing, because evidently, like, he just tased them if they moved in practice, right? Like, he was kind of a psychotic rage filled old school offensive line coach. But they said 10 NFL draft picks. I'm like, don't make the math easy for me to like argue. Right? Like, don't. Just pick a number. You could have made it 11, and I would have been like, oh, that's hard math. I'm not going to do that.
Just Penn State it. Just
Put
some dramatic bullshit up there, like an offensive lineman drafted every year except for 40.
Yeah, for 40 of these years.
So we're getting into the part of the schedule that's heavy on the Pac-12, obviously. So my question is: the Pac-12 currently reigning, the only undefeated conference
dominant
in all of college football.
Can't happen after this, though.
Someone should take them down.
Can they go undefeated against everyone except the Pac-12?
Except all right. themselves.
So Utah, Baylor. I think we're taking Utah. Colorado, we're taking Colorado. Yeah. Washington's going to beat Tulsa. It doesn't sound like we're too worried about Oregon at Texas Tech. And again, folks, like we said at the top, if an upset happens, it doesn't mean
it's good to be wrong.
It's not breaking our hearts.
Yeah.
Where this really hinges for me is Wisconsin at Wazoo. Now, Wazoo won that last year.
No, I'm confused. I will tell you, this is a deeply confusing game to me because I did watch Wisconsin last weekend, and they look like they're rehearsing.
They are figuring it out. 100%.
They're figuring it out. 100%. They had some success. Tanner Mordecai looked more and more comfortable as the game went on. But that's a work in progress, and they're going to be facing my Crazy Legs O'Houlihan Memorial Award winner of the year, Cam Ward, who is bonkers, like as college a quarterback as college football ever spat out.
So I think I'm more worried about Arizona at Mississippi State.
That's the biggest spread here. That's that would be a 10-point upset. So those two at the same time, if our beloved Pac-12 gets past that, I think momentum. There's a surge. UC Davis, Oregon State. Come on, it's Oregon State. They're going to beat everyone. USC, Stanford doesn't matter for our purposes here. If everything rolls into these four teams, Auburn, Cal, Oklahoma State, Arizona State, those four teams in games involving stakes, consequences, narratives.
The game I have the least lean data inclination instinct or read on is Auburn Cal.
Correct.
And no matter who's playing.
Much.
Okay. Much. Not
outside,
only that.
Like, is Cam Newton on Auburn? No, I have no clue.
Default setting on this was already deep question marks on map, like Terra Incognita.
Right.
And then I don't know if you know this, so I'm just going to bring everyone up to speed on it.
But Cal,
who has been playing 17-15 football for the past five seasons, right, under Justin Wilcox, Cal went and scored 58 damn points against North Texas. Now you say North Texas sucks. One, that's very offensive to me, coach of the North Texas Mean Green. We are doing our best, and that's correctable. Two.
Drop 50.
I don't care. Yeah. They drop 50. So now, that combined with Auburn having what appears to be a functional offense, I have no idea what's going to happen in this game. None. Absolutely none. Less than none.
Cal is good at giving you one result a year that you're like, what the fuck did Cal do? Wait, what? Like, they can't do it over 9 games, 10 games. They're like, they obviously can't string it together, or at least they haven't recently. But, like, Cal beat Ole Miss back-to-back years. Good Cal of yesteryear? No, shit Cal. Shit Cal did that.
Yeah.
And against Auburn? On the road?
Yeah. I am looking forward to embracing the mystery. I say that in the sense of Margo Martindale at the end of Justified Season 2. That's probably how I'll feel at the end of this game.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, Oklahoma State, Arizona State feels just as confusing simply because
Arizona State looked so rough in that opening game.
Yeah. If not for Colorado, Arizona State would be the team everyone's looking at like, what the fuck are they going to be? And we still don't know.
Yeah, a 24-21 win.
Not great, to be clear.
Yeah, a 24-21 win over the Southern Utah Thunderbirds,
which I believe was the Southern Utah was the team that covered the biggest spread without winning, I think, which you don't really want to win that game. That's not really, you know what I mean? You don't want to be the team right on the other end of the team almost covering the 30-point spread.
Yeah.
Right. And like,
or almost winning as a 30-point dog.
Oklahoma State gave up a lot of yards to Central Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
That game was close late. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, that being the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State, working for Mike Gundy, period, seems very stressful. I don't know if you saw Derek Mason, who's doing commentary on
football. That's why I won't do it. That's why I won't do it. I won't take that
Derek
job.
Mason, who basically just left that job rather than, not even for another job, just out. Just like, nah. He's doing TV now. He looks so relaxed, dude. He grew his hair out. I didn't know Derek Mason had hair. He's got a glorious head of hair. He looks so... He didn't look like the same person.
Do you think we're going to find that out about Clark Lee in a few years? Be like, holy
shit. Oh, that Clark Lee can grow like a...
He's got lettuce.
Yeah, that Clark Lee has a Trevor Lawrence, like, Renaissance sex god mane. Like, goddamn, he looks like Viggo the Carpathian. Look at him.
This seems to happen. Like, Bob Stoops got handsome.
Sure.
Yeah. No, yeah. Derek Mason looked 10 years younger and had a full head of hair on TV. Like, hey, guys, how we doing?
Once you have money, you should quit football.
Oh, my God. How handsome will Marcus Freeman get?
My goodness. It's unfathomable. It'll go all the way back around.
He's ugly now. He's horrifying.
Yeah. He's hideous.
He's uncanny valleyed. Oh, God.
I can't look at it.
He's going to have surgery to make himself look ugly. Like, he's going to have the handsome Squidward thing.
Ratings have tanked.
I would like to say Dan Mullen looks just as fucking dorky not coaching as he did coaching.
Pretty much.
The most little rascals adult you've ever seen, Dan Mullen.
Urban Meyer also did not get handsome. And part of it is he wears the fucking Roger Stone sunglasses still.
Right. He's too horny to be handsome.
Anyone with the viral moment you're referring to, anyone else would be like, oh, come on. That's someone talking to a person. With him, right. I'm like, we see you.
That cameraman knew. The cameraman was like, oh, look, it'll look like I'm just framing the shot. Just getting set up for more great football talk on. Look at Urban.
I can't believe Urban's pants were on during that shot.
And then we end with the University of Albany.
The road trip of the year.
Flying all this. I looked it up. This is not the furthest an opponent has had to go to play Hawaii. This is not even top five. Maine, Boston College, UMass, West Point is just barely further as well. And there is one more who I can't remember. But Albany's real close. It's like 5,000. It's just an absurd amount of distance that they have to go.
This is when on Split Zone Duo, we did the we picked FCS upsets. This was a consideration for me just because, like, you look at whatever the spread is on in front of me and you're like, oh, God, of course, they're going a million miles. And there's no way. But
it's 4,943 miles from Albany to Honolulu.
I'm not going to tell anyone to download the Team One app and stay up until 4 a.m. to watch a team travel 5,000 miles to play. But I'm just going to say it might be an okay game.
They almost beat Marshall.
Sure.
So yeah. Albany's not a bad team.
Are these the Great Danes?
These are the Great Danes.
Yes, that's Jared. Also, that's Florida State defensive end Jared Verse's former team.
Yeah.
The Great Danes, yeah.
Yeah, they're probably as good as him. They probably got a lot more guys.
They're all like him. Yeah.
That's the secret. But and also since we're dropping gambling truisms today, Hawaii's home field advantage is always wildly overrated. Like they are not good at covering at home.
I think it's
a mental thing.
I think it's because, like, everybody who thinks about it is in their 30s or older and is like, "Oh God, when I travel, I'm so sleepy."
Right.
But it's like
when you're
19, you're like, "I'll sleep anyway. Fuck you." Do they have Taco Bell? I'm good.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, these are. I asked one time. I asked the trainer for the All Blacks what they did to really like, because, you know, they fly ridiculous distances. We're like, oh man, they gotta play 5,000 miles. Not saying that's insignificant, especially in terms of college football travel. The All Blacks and international rugby teams are like, we flew from Singapore to Johannesburg for a match, you know. And I asked them, I was like, what do you do to adjust for those times and distances? And they're like, eh, not much. they just rock. They're just like, everybody sleeps, everybody drinks water, get off the plane, hit somebody, go
if
back home.
If you deny the presence of time zones, they can't hurt you.
Hmm.
I honestly think that's a really good approach.
I could build a pretty good Instagram following just based on that health logic.
Just Ed Milet, the travel guide, right? I rearranged time.
This reminds me of the time Spencer and I went to Talladega and we showed up 2 hours early because we did the time zone math backward.
Roger, which turned out to rock, right?
Yeah, which was fine. We went to Waffle House and we met a cool dog.
Roger, you're going to do this at some point on this trip. Just accept that and understand.
Yeah.
Worried Roger's going to show up at a stadium and be like, oh, that game's not for another week.
That's going to happen.
There'll be something going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one. Can I sneak one more game
in there?
Yeah, please. Just because.
Better not be Florida.
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Stanford at USC.
Okay. No.
Have you watched Stanford?
No.
Of course not.
Okay. I actually watched Stanford.
Okay. Okay.
Entertaining. They're like, they don't look like the same team. Yeah, it is weird. It is very weird. Stanford looked very, very entertaining. Like, loose. I've never seen a Stanford team look loose. I don't really know if they're good, but I don't think that matters against USC's defense. Okay? At all. So, like, I don't know if they can beat USC, but based on what I've seen out of USC's defense, this is like a third quarter. This goes into the third quarter. Because their defense still sucks.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll take a peek, I guess.
Take a gander.
Ashton Daniels is pretty fun.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Like, Ashton Daniels can...
Throws a nice ball.
He does throw a nice ball. Yes.
Yes. And their offense is now kind of spready. A little wacky. Right? Like, little, it definitely does not look like... You know, four tight end Stanford of yore.
Also, Caleb Williams is going to do some like crazy shit, and that's worth watching in and of itself. Like it is a little frustrating that USC's defense is such a story that we can't be like, holy shit, Caleb Williams is just a fucking monster. But that's Alex Grinch for you, baby.
He does a move that literally looks like somebody is controlling him with a fast twitch keyboard. Right, the little like two steps up, two steps back, two steps up, two steps back. Like he moves in exact like right angles in the pocket. Yeah, he does the Pac-Man. It's terrifying.